Lorianne Goldstein is a YA author who has written her first adult novel. It is called Love, Theodosia, a novel of Theodosia Burr and Philip Hamilton. In post-American Revolution New York City, Theodosia Burr, a scholar with the skills of a socialite, is all about charming the right people on behalf of her father, Senator Aaron Burr, who is determined to win the office of president in the pivotal election of 1800. Meanwhile, Philip Hamilton, the rakish son of Alexander Hamilton, is all about being charming on behalf of his libido. When the two first meet, it seems the ongoing feud between their politically opposed fathers may be hereditary, but soon Theodosia and Philip must choose between love and family, desire and loyalty, and preserving the legacy their flawed fathers fought for, or creating their own. It is a Romeo and Juliet story for Hamilton fans. It is called Love, Theodosia, and we welcome Lorianne Goldstein to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's terrific to be here. I'm excited.
We're excited as well. What brought you to want to write this novel and more specifically to write about Theodosia?
So the inspiration for me came from the musical Hamilton, which if anyone is a fan or familiar with the soundtrack, they might recognize the name Theodosia, as there is a song called Dear Theodosia in that play. And I kind of had the idea the very first time I saw the musical on Broadway, which I was very fortunate to see. It's a quieter moment of the show when the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, are singing of their newborn children. One's a boy, the other's a girl. And, you know, it's very thoughtful and introspective. And they're talking about, you know, the fathers they want to be and the world they want to pass on to them. And immediately this idea of a Romeo and Juliet love story popped into my mind. And I'm not a romance writer. That's not kind of where I come from. My background was writing young adult novels, but it was the song and the depth of the emotion that the fathers had for these two children that I just thought, wow, what if these two children fell in love and their fathers, you know, their families were bitter enemies and rivals. And so the kind of idea just got sparked right in the seat during the Broadway show. And I went home immediately and started kind of the Google rabbit hole. And that led to what became Love, Theodosia.
So let's talk about the Google rabbit hole. What kind of things did you want to know initially? What were the searches like that you started to do initially?
So the very first search was just Theodosia Burr. And again, if people are familiar with the show, they would understand that Theodosia was mother and daughter had the same name. And then figuring out what information was available about the daughter, about Theodosia Burr, who became Theodosia Burr Alston. And I was fascinated at first because I realized that she lived at a time in South Carolina, very close to where my parents wound up retiring to. And I had actually been to the grounds of a sculpture garden, which were the grounds of the property that she used to live on. So that kind of connection, like that personal connection, really kind of drew me in to start even Googling more. But the thing that really made me realize this was a story was when I learned that Philip and Theodosia attended the same school as children. For a short period, they attended a French school at the same time. And that's where I realized they would be in the same circles in New York City society at the time. You know, the society was smaller and they ran in the same circles. Their families would attend the same parties and events and dinner parties. And she served as host at her family's home after her mother passed away for everyone from George Washington to Alexander Hamilton. And so kind of figuring out that this whole world was so interconnected really led me to realize that this story could play out within the true timeline and events of the year of 1800.
So how much of it did you want to stay true to that timeline? And obviously this is a great what if story. So what rules did you set for yourself of what you would allow to be fiction and what you wanted to be fact?
So the love story between Philip and Theodosia is fictional, but I wanted it to play out in a way that it could have happened. Not just even the what if, you know, they met and fell in love, but what if this love story played out during this year of 1800, which was a very pivotal one in kind of the formation of our country, our young democracy at that time, where Burr was running for president and Alexander Hamilton was kind of doing everything he could to stop Burr from becoming president. And I wanted all of the political background to be true to history, down to the events that happened and the timeline within they happened. I didn't want to kind of jigger with the timeline. I wanted to make this love story fit in what had actually happened. And that would be places that they lived, travels of the characters, who the characters were interacting with, of other kind of prominent people of the time period. So there are parties that Theodosia goes to where Washington Irving is her escort. That was very true to the time that they were friends and he did escort her to many parties. So I wanted all the people around them and the timeline of what happened to be true to history. And that is all what I stayed true to. And then I wove this imagined love story in it. And obviously, I don't know what these characters would have, you know, people would have said, you know, dialogue between Theodosia and her father is inspired by my reading of letters between them and my sense of what their relationship was like. So that obviously is fictional, but trying to really stay true to who their personalities appeared to be from what we know of history.
So on that what we know question, how much do we know about Theodosia?
So we do not know all that much, but I was fortunate in my research to find a book just in my local library in Cambridge, Massachusetts, from 1918 that was a compilation of letters between Theodosia and her father. And it was a small amount, and the ones actually written by Theodosia were even smaller. And that happened because a lot of her letters, and actually his letters to her, were lost at sea. She disappeared at the age of 29. She was sailing from South Carolina to see her father in New York, and the ship disappeared. And there are theories about what happened, whether it was pirates or whether it was just a storm. But with her were all of these letters that she had. And so we don't have all that many. But there's enough to kind of really get a sense of her personality. And we know we know she grew up with her father in a place called Richmond Hill, which is now a location in Greenwich Village in New York City. And her father was a big proponent of ensuring she was educated the way a male would be educated, all the way through college level courses. So we know a lot about her education and in terms of what her father was hoping for her to be, to kind of be this prodigy, be someone who showed that females could be educated the same as males. So we know kind of a lot of her foundation for who she became. And then when she ultimately kind of married and moved to South Carolina to a man who became governor of South Carolina.
We know a little bit more about Philip Hamilton, but not a lot more.
True. You know, and again, this is why this Romeo and Juliet story popped into my mind, because, you know, no spoilers, but if you do know Hamilton, you've already seen that Philip Hamilton dies at a young age of 19. So we know a bit about him, but again, not too much. There's a great archive that on a government website that is an archive of historical letters between founding fathers, prominent people throughout history. And you can Google and you can search right on that site to see, you know, a letter from Hamilton to Thomas Jefferson or a letter from Hamilton to his son, the ones that have survived. They've archived them. So there are a couple of letters on there, actually, from Alexander Hamilton to his son, which give a sense of their relationship. Hamilton was a very strict father. One of his letters is called The Seven Rules for Philip Hamilton, and it's from when he can wake up, to when he should eat breakfast, to when he should study law, to when he should go to sleep, to when he should is allowed to have recreation time. And this was to his adult son. So we kind of get a sense of what their relationship must have been like. And we know a little bit about his schooling and that he was a very, very important part of the family there. And the whole family really was devastated after he died. So we know a bit about each of them. And then I was able to use my imagination to fill in the rest of the pieces.
When it comes to Theodosia in the novel, you portray her as just this amazingly intelligent woman. She has very strong feminist ideas and quite ahead of her time.
Yes, and that did come based out of what I read about her, and specifically this idea of her education, because her father, Aaron Burr, and her mother before her mother passed away were advocates of a writer whose name was Mary Wollstonecraft, and she was a British writer and very much a proponent of females being educated. And at the time, females were not educated partly due to a common perception that females lacked the necessary intellectual capacity to be educated the way males were. And so the goal through the Mary's writing and what Aaron Burr really picked up on was wanting to prove that that wasn't true, that women's minds were just as open to male as male minds, and that they should be educated, could be educated, would enjoy being educated. And so Theodosia grew up kind of with that as her guiding force, that she can be a scholar, and she kind of gravitated towards that. She was, you know, she was a child that for a while was, you know, wanted to go ice skating and wanted to go riding. And those are things that she has said in letters to her father. But she really did relish as she became educated and wanted to have a bigger role in society. And society was not open to that. And there are a lot of things that point to her being kind of, you know, fodder for gossip mill, that she, you know, would always be a spinster. What man would want to marry this woman who, you know, spoke three or four different languages and had skill in math and wanted to be more than what society was allowing women to be at that time. So that is kind of her personality, you know, accentuated in the book towards what we now, I think of feminists, but all based in what she kind of wanted to be, and that the doors were closed to her for kind of doing more than being her father's political confidant and consultant, which is how she kind of fulfilled that scholarly part of herself.
The name of the new novel is Love, Theodosia, a novel of Theodosia Burr and Philip Hamilton. It is published by Arcade. Lorianne Goldstein, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the novel, Love, Theodosia. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.